for you this morning, Lord, and we thank you. We just love those lyrics, Lord, that your love is running after us, Lord, that you pursue us, Lord. Sometimes we just need to slow down and just listen for your voice. Thank you, Lord, that you pursue us. James Cameron said, if you set your goals ridiculously high and it's a failure, you will fail above everybody else's success. It's quite a mouthful. Does it make sense? It's also said, if you plan to reach Neptune and you land on the moon, at least you've left Earth. And we've got to set ourselves high ambitions and high targets. We're busy with something at work at the moment based on a book by a guy called John Doerr. It says, measure what matters. And if you don't measure something, then you can't see if you're improving. So, I mean, you guys in manufacturing as well, you measure waste, you measure run speeds, you measure efficiencies, all that sort of thing. And unless you're measuring that, you don't really know if you're improving or not. And we've got to be striving and trying to improve ourselves. And our target is not Neptune. Our target is Jesus. And we want to set our sights on Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We'll never reach Jesus. But if we land on the moon, at least we've left Earth. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is let's see Jesus as our example. Let's strive to be like Jesus and we'll end up a little bit better than where we are now. We'll never be Jesus, but we will be a better version of ourselves if we strive to be like Jesus, if we set Jesus as our example. So I'm going to touch on 8 points. So don't overwhelm yourself and beat yourself up and try and measure yourself on all 8, but just see which of these 8 speaks to you personally. Meditate on it in the week as well. See which of these God highlights to you. Maybe it's just 1 or 2 that you specifically have to work on in your life. Because each of us are at a different place in our life. Even if we were on a journey and we're in a different place now in this little season, it might be something that God highlights to you as an area of your life that you need to work on. Okay, so let's run through the 8 points. So I'm gonna, if you can just run through the slideshow as I go. Thanks. So starting with Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We've covered that verse last week or the week before as well, is really trying to run with endurance and just get rid of anything that slows us down. Even like David, when Saul put his armor on him and David said, but I'm not used to this. I can't operate with this. Let me get it off. Let me work with what I'm used to working with. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So we know that scripture quite well. Run the race, strip off everything, run with endurance. But take note, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We want to focus on Jesus as our example. Who's seen this painting before? It's a young lady from America. I think she's got Ukrainian roots or Lithuanian roots. Young lady, she painted the first version when she was 8 years old, and then she painted this version when she was 23 years old. But if you go and Google her, it's amazing to see the painting she did when she was 8, because she had this revelation. Jesus started downloading when she was like 3, 4 years old already. And she painted a beautiful version when she was 8. And then she painted this one again when she was 23. It took her 1,000 hours to do this one. But this is considered one of the likenesses of Jesus, because other people that experienced Jesus, like a little boy that went to heaven, came back, and he couldn't describe Jesus to his parents. And then when he walked past the computer and saw this picture, he said, but there's Jesus. So it's considered a possible likeness of Jesus. But amazing talent that this girl has been given by God. Okay, so let's start with this picture. Let's start with the mind of Christ. So if we look at Jesus's mind, Jesus's brain, and we go into the first scripture, Jesus filled his mind with scripture, because as soon as Satan came and tried to attack him and tried to tempt him, he had scripture in his head and he was able to quote that scripture. So Jesus filled his mind with things of God. And that's what he's modeling there to us, is fill your mind with things of God. What are we watching on TV? What are we reading? Who are we chatting to? Who are our school friends? You know, how are we being influenced? What's getting into our head? And what's in your head generally comes out your mouth. And how did Jesus respond? I'm not going to read the whole text, but if you go back there, Annette. That one. Just look at the yellow. So the first temptation that came at Jesus, he said, it is written. Next page. Next temptation that came, for it is written. And then the third one, the third temptation that he brought against Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written." So Jesus kept just quoting scripture at the devil because he had this, that's what he had in his mind. And what are we filling our mind with? Jesus is modeling that to us, to have scripture in your mind that you're able to quote back. Okay, secondly, we look at Jesus' eyes. Okay, sorry, you can put the next scripture up. Thought I was going to say something. Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So Jesus has his eyes fixed on God. That's what I want to highlight there. Do we have our eyes fixed on God? Are we starting our day and looking at our problems or looking at our emails or reaching for whatever, reaching for food or reaching for cigarettes or whatever is our thing? Or do we have our eyes on Jesus? Do we have our eyes fixed? And Jesus modeled that because he had his eyes fixed on God. He would get up early in the morning. He would go away. He would isolate himself and he would spend time with God. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus. So let's start our day. Start your day. And I know it's we're at different seasons as well. Some of us have got babies and we were there as well, where your life is a lot less predictable when you've got toddlers and you wake up with a mess of sorts and could be any sort of mess. So, you know, but we go through seasons, but find God and seek God as to when you can have those quiet times with him. Jesus' mouth, he was always ready to pronounce the good news. He was always ready to speak about God. What are we doing with our mouth? If we look at the scripture there, Matthew 4:23, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and healed every kind of disease and illness. So what are we doing with our mouth? Are we proclaiming the good news? Are we speaking life? Are we encouraging people? Well, are we moaning about the government and moaning about our colleagues and moaning about the increase we didn't get? We've got such an opportunity with our mouth to actually speak out and speak encouragement and speak life into people. So are we using our mouth effectively? Or are we moaning? Are we skinnering? What are we doing with our mouth? And I also think we tend to use WhatsApp such a lot. And it's a nice tool to encourage people, but don't let that replace your mouth. I think there's nothing like personal interaction with people. I like sending voice notes as well, because then people can hear your tone. So make sure you're getting your voice to people and you're not just WhatsApping. It's easy to forward things on as well. So even on your comm group, don't just forward something on and say, this is why I'm forwarding on. God spoke to me through this in my quiet time. This scripture said this to me, or this little picture. But if we just forward stuff on, it's just like spamming your comm. So I really encourage you to use your mouth. Okay, what about Jesus' ears? I wasn't going to take up a whole slide for that. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So the context of that is there were two blind men, and they heard Jesus was coming past, and one of them was very vocal, Bartimaeus. He shouted out to Jesus, and the others were trying to get him to keep quiet. And Jesus heard him and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." So two things that jump out for me in that story. The one is that Jesus is actually listening. So, I mean, can you imagine the noise and the buzz around Jesus coming through the town and all these people and a crowd gathered around him, but he hears the individual. And then he takes notice of the individual. He takes time with that person. So again, with our ears, are we listening for each other? And are we taking time to actually hear what the person has to say? How often do you walk past someone at work? "Yes, Stefan, hoe gaan dit? Lekker." And you don't even stop to hear what his response is. Maybe he's had a bad day and he wants to pour his heart out and you've just walked off. Anyone guilty of that? I see a few hands. So Jesus took time to show interest in the individual, in the one. Think of the woman at the well. He sat there and he listened to this woman. You can imagine the demand on Jesus' time. We're like, "Oh no, just I'm too busy now. I'm working and I'm involved in the church." But Imagine how busy Jesus was. He had time to actually sit and listen to those individuals. And we've got all the comforts nowadays. Those days, imagine how much effort it was to make food, to bathe, to do your laundry. Everything was a lot tougher then. So we think that, you know, we've got a lot busier lives now, but we've got all the comforts. And we can just order your food in, or order your food and just stick it in the microwave. It's a much easier life that we have now compared to what they had there. And the men on the road to Emmaus as well. Remember, Jesus walked with those two men all the way and he listened to them along the road. So Jesus took time to listen. Are we listening? Okay, Jesus' shoulders. So Jesus obviously carried the cross there on his shoulder. And Jesus, yeah, thank you. And then Jesus told his disciples, if you go into the scripture, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So we're like, oh, I've got so much on my shoulders. All we should have on our shoulders is the cross. We should just have the cross. We should be laying down our life daily, saying, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I place my life in your hands. There's no reason for us to carry the world on our shoulders. Jesus carried the world. We just need to carry our daily cross on our shoulder. And again, it wasn't any easier for them in those days, as I've mentioned. Jesus' arms. How are we using our arms? And what I want to cover under arms is team. So it's so important for us in life, within family context, within church context, even in work, it's so important to be a team effort. And that's why here in church, we always operate as a team. Always needs to be a leadership team, a community team, a community of saints, which is a team as well. And then within the bigger Josh Gen, we've got apostles. If we go and do outreaches, it will always be a team. Declan's coming next week. He's bringing a team. Wherever we go, we make sure we model team. And we operate in team. So you want to model it to the saints, but you also need to operate in team. It keeps us all accountable if we're operating in team. The scripture there, Luke 6. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be the apostles. So Jesus modeled team. Jesus chose this team of apostles and he modeled that to us, that he wasn't a lone ranger. I mean, Jesus was an incredible teacher, an incredible leader, and he could have done a lot on his own, but he chose to use the 12 and the bigger team. And wherever he went, he ministered with a team. Jesus' hands. What did Jesus do with his hands? He served. Most humble leader. He served with his hands. And the great example of that, of course, is at the Last Supper. And he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. And that was him modeling to the disciples, because he wanted them to catch the heart of humility and servanthood. And what was their reaction? No, Jesus, you can't be washing our feet. I mean, they got all these dirty feet from walking on the path to get there, but he modeled to them, because it was always the lowest servant that would wash the feet. And Jesus basically said, he placed himself down there, showing us that if you want to be a leader, you need to be a servant. And you need to serve in the house. And he was the first one to do that. And then Peter also said, but Lord, don't wash my feet. And he said, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you've got no part of me. And then he said, wash all of me, which Jesus didn't do, of course, but that was his posture, yeah. Because Peter was just, he didn't want to be separated from Jesus. But just that servant nature that we get from Jesus, that humility, which he modeled then to his disciples. Then Jesus' feet. John 11. So this is when Lazarus was really ill, and Lazarus' two sisters, who are Mary and Martha, called for Jesus. And it says he, which is Jesus, so Jesus stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he says to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. And what I felt out of that scripture is that Jesus prioritizes where he is. And we sometimes, God has got us busy with something, and then we hear of a crisis and we run away because we've got to go and see to what's urgent. And sometimes we address the urgent when we're supposed to be busy with the important. So Jesus was obviously busy with some ministry, and even though his very good friend Lazarus was ill, he didn't run straight there. He dealt with what he was, we finished what he was busy with, and then he went and visited. And by then, Lazarus had, of course, died, and then good ending to the story, he raises Lazarus from the tomb. But it's a good lesson for us as well, is to be present in the moment. How many of you are sitting here listening to me, but your mind is on what's happening later today or later tomorrow? And I've been guilty of that before. I've sat in, it's a while back now, but I've sat in church before making like a to-do list for my work while the preacher's busy. And that's, I mean, why are you bothering then? Why are you bothering sitting in church when your mind is on work? I hope Steph's mind's not on work. Okay. Steph's in a very busy season at the moment. Well done. But we can be guilty of that. You sit in one work meeting and you're worrying about the next work meeting. Or Shane sitting in assembly worrying about something else, whereas he should be giving his attention to the kids. You know, so just examples of where we should be really present in the moment. And that's the same with our family. Don't we sit, with our family and we may be thinking of something else, or we're on our phones. You see couples in restaurants sitting opposite each other, both on their phones. I mean, let's be present in the moment. Let's be intentional with each other. So let's use our mouth and our ears rather than our thumbs when we're in each other's company. And the second part of that is, other than being present on the moment, in the moment, is also being led by God as to where we need to go next. So Jesus was present where he was. His feet were rooted where God wanted him. But he was very quick, when God said go, he was very quick to then use his feet. And you know, in Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about the armor of God, and one of them is the shoes of the readiness to go and spread the gospel, the shoes of peace and the readiness to go out and spread the gospel. And we've also got to be ready. So two points to take out of feet is where you are at the moment, be intentional, be present. And I'm speaking to myself as well, and my wife's looking at me. And secondly, is to be ready to go out. When God says go, then you go. All right. So, what I love about Mark and Bridget's school is just the name that they've given to the school, Grow Quickly. I thought it was Grow Quickly. No, that was intentional. You don't want to grow quickly. You want to grow slow and strong. Okay? So when we look to Jesus, don't try and now we want to get to Neptune in 2 seconds. Rather take small, slow steps. Let's grow. Let's be intentional. Let's grow in a strong way. Let's grow strong and not try and grow quickly. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 11. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So that's Paul speaking. And he's basically saying to the Corinthians there, is I'm trying my best to do what Jesus does. So if you guys follow me, then you're in a pretty good space. So, but we really, each of us needs to be imitating Christ and find somebody as well that can help disciple you. And we try and do that through communities, call it accountability, call it discipleship, but where we have these accountable relationships, where we just help each other, where we just give perspective, we just put up a mirror to each other. And that's for every single one, from Mornay that runs Josh Jane South Africa, right through everybody, is we need to get perspective and we need to see how we're doing. We need to, as we're trying to imitate Jesus, we've got blind spots, and then we point these out to each other. This is where you can do better. This is, maybe you don't see this, but this is how it comes out when you say things. Joy pointed something out this week to myself as well. She says, when I'm saying certain things, I get this certain look on my face, which looks like it's different to what I'm actually saying. And we don't see that. So we need each other to be a mirror. We can also use the Bible as a mirror, of course. Jonathan Stanfield, the leaders met with him this week as well. And something he said that stuck with me, he says, you know, we like to wield the sword. You know, we like to use the Bible as a sword and attack other people with our sword. But before we use the Bible as a sword, we should actually use the Bible as a mirror. So we've got to be looking in the Bible ourselves and reflecting and trying to look more like Jesus. So let's model ourselves on Jesus. Now, it's just calibrating as well. I had this picture, you know, when you're driving in the car and then you